Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. When one looks at the history of public housing in St. Louis, two names stand out. They are Gene King and Richard Barron. They're the subject of a new documentary on their contributions, and we'll talk with them a little bit later about that. But first, the homecoming for veterans is not always easy. The transition can be difficult. Many are homeless or at risk of being homeless. Hundreds fall into the homeless category here in St. Louis. The Salvation Army has just opened a 48-unit housing development in St. Louis called Veterans Residence. It offers permanent and transitional housing for veterans. And with us to talk about the facility and the need for it are Major Lanil Richardson, Divisional Commander for the Midland Division of the Salvation Army. His area covers Missouri and southern Illinois. Joanne Joseph is the Homeless Program Supervisor for the St. Louis VA Medical Center. She has worked with the homeless and community mental health issues for a decade now. Robert Rob Lawless is a Navy veteran who is moving into the transitional housing program at Veterans Residence. Thank you all so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Major, let me begin with you and just give me an overview of the need for this facility.
Well, as you know, the homeless veteran population continues to rise as individuals return home. The Salvation Army has been involved with partnering with the VA around the country to provide homeless assistance for veterans. Here in St. Louis, over 20 years, the Salvation Army has provided transitional and supportive services for veterans who are homeless in the community. We see this just as a continuation of the model of providing supportive services for veterans as they re-enter into our community.
This is a facility that offers permanent and transitional housing. How permanent is permanent?
Permanent is as long as the veterans sees fit to be at the facility with providing supportive services for them. They determine how long they need to stay at that particular resident. They are apartment settings, so very comfortable. And so we work with them until they decide to move into other permanent housing.
Are they charged for the time they spend there? And where does the funding come from for the building to begin with?
Well, the funding for the building for the capital project is through the Salvation Army has partnered through tax credits to make this particular homeless facility possible. The actual payment and rent is based upon income and worked out with the Veterans Administration, where they pay the actual rent amount for the vets that are located in the residence.
It's a $9 million facility, I understand?
Yes, it is.
And located where?
It's located near Washington and Locust.
All right. Well, Joanne, let me turn to you. You've been working with the people who fall into the category we're talking about for a long time now. Why is the homeless issue such an ongoing one for veterans?
Well, I think it's a complex issue. So there's a variety of issues that contribute to veteran homelessness. What we're trying to do is address the issue in multiple ways. Historically, we've approached the issue more in an emergency fashion. So we wait until somebody shows up at our doorstep and they don't have anywhere to go. So we've moved that model considerably over the past few years under the guidance of Secretary Shinseki. We've developed a five-year plan to end veteran homelessness and have done that here locally as well. So we try to address prevention issues. So we have veteran treatment courts in our area to help divert people from the judicial system. We also have some funding for rapid rehousing. And we've moved more toward permanent solutions, which the major referenced. So the project that's going to be at the new veterans residence for those supported permanent housing is done in partnership with HUD and our local St. Louis City PHA to provide a Section 8 voucher. And then the VA ourselves provide case management services ongoing to help people sustain that housing. So we're trying to we're trying to keep people in housing and then prevent people from becoming homeless to begin with.
It looks like a great facility. You have a very handsome brochure here, but we're talking 48 beds. And there are many times that number of men and women, I assume,
yes,
who fall into the homeless category.
Yes. So we currently partner with a number of different community partners for transitional housing. So in total, we can provide transitional housing for 146 veterans at a time. The Salvation Army project here will allow us hopefully soon to start providing those services to women. We also have a domiciliary, which is at our Jefferson Barracks campus, which is specifically for homeless veterans that are moving towards full-time competitive employment. And then we have 145 supported housing options for veterans through our partnership with HUD and the St. Louis City PHA.
Is it fair to say that that all of the homeless veterans in the St. Louis area have access to some sort of housing?
I would say that we're working toward that goal. It's hard to say because the numbers vary throughout the year. Our best estimate from the point in time counts for our entire catchment area, which is about 50 square miles, is about 500 veterans. Mm-hmm. And that number changes from day to day. So I think that we are moving rapidly towards having the appropriate infrastructure to meet their needs.
And we're approaching, or in fact, in the time of year when you most want to have folks accounted for and in some sort of housing.
Absolutely.
Yes. Rob, let me turn to you. What is your story? You're about to move into this facility. What brought you to this point?
Well, I've been working at recovery since 1990, and I spent the 90s, had a series of events with my addiction, spent the 90s, got sober, worked for the Department of Mental Health, worked in housing, actually. And as many come to find out, as with the disease process, you end up, I went back out for about 12 years, had the last bout with a pain medication thing. I'd hurt my back. I'm a union pipe fitter. And when the economy went down and a lot of people lost their jobs, I started, using the pain medication. It got out of control. And so sought treatment through the Veterans Administration and went down to Jefferson Barracks last November and been in the program ever since. And lived at the domiciliary for some months down there and had a setback and left. And fortunately, made it to the Salvation Army after I went back to the SATEP program in July, and there was a bed at Salvation Army for me. So,
at some point, I assume you're on the streets.
Yeah, I stayed with family and friends, since a year ago November. Stayed with family for a while, and we tend to wear relationships out, unfortunately, and. And stay with friends, different places, and sometimes on the street. And it wasn't a pleasant experience. I wasn't expecting to be there. Many people. I'm fortunate I didn't have to spend a lot of nights on the street per se. But there were a couple of nights that I found myself. Here I am. I never expected this. I didn't grow up to be here. This wasn't my plan.
We hear that over and over.
Yeah.
Again. It's never part of the plan, obviously.
Yeah.
Why do you think it is, Rob, that so many veterans here and in all over the country wind up on the streets?
Well, there's a lot of issues. Come to find out for me this time around, I've been diagnosed with PTSD over stuff. I was a submarine sailor during the Cold War and never saw combat, but there were some things that happened and some mental health issues that were never addressed. And I've been treated for depression and the dual diagnosis stuff with the addiction and taking medication for a long time. And like myself, it's hard to maintain the medication compliance. And once that happens, people's lives tend to you make a series of poor decisions, and you can find yourself in the streets in a hurry.
Joanne, I'll bet you've heard this story before.
Yeah, I certainly have. And I think that definitely the mental health and substance use contribute to veteran homelessness across the country, and certainly St. Louis is no exception. Most of our housing programs, including Salvation Army, include a treatment component to address some of those addiction issues so people can have the recovery tools that they need to be successful after they exit the program.
Major, are we dealing primarily with addiction of various types here and PSD? I mean, what is the range of problems that you're going to have to be dealing with?
I think you've listed a number of them. When individuals come to the Salvation Army, oftentimes we don't even identify them as veterans until they went through detox or had case management. Then we identify that they are available for benefits as veterans. And so once we begin the process of case management, we determine that oftentimes they've been involved with treatment before. Some are on medication prescribed by physicians. And we have to start that process all over again. We hope that this time what we can do is continue to provide that long-term case management when situations arise that individuals don't find themselves homeless again or repeating all of the primary steps in providing not only their own case management but housing for them. And so we think this is a great approach. That's why we have the permanent piece of this.
Joanne, does it happen frequently that folks come in and do get some treatment and have their needs attended to and then wind up back out on the street again at some point?
Well, I think that's part of the recovery journey is how we would frame that. And so, no, that's not unusual. Recovery isn't a linear process. And just because somebody, you know, went through treatment, it was doing well, and then fell back into homelessness doesn't mean that they're not going to get well again and sustain themselves in housing. One of the things that we're trying to do is to address veterans who are falling in and out of homelessness through this permanent solution. So this sustainable housing first solution where we say somebody's been homeless for a long time, we want to get them directly into supported permanent housing.
I have to take a break. We'll do that. I'll tell our audience that this is St. Louis on the Air. We're talking about veterans issues here in St. Louis, particularly the issue of homelessness in a new facility called Veterans Residence, which is just opening courtesy of the Salvation Army here in St. Louis. With me in studio is Major Lanil Richardson of the Salvation Army. Joanne Joseph, from whom you just heard, is the homeless program supervisor for the St. Louis VA Medical Center, and Rob Lawless is a Navy veteran who will soon be taking up transitional residence in the veterans residence that we're talking about. We'd like to get you into the conversation. If you have issues relating to what we're talking about, that is, if you're a veteran or know one and you have issues that perhaps could be attended to at the veterans residence, we'd very much like to hear from you. 382-8255, that's 382-TALK. Send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org. We'll take a tweet at STL on Air. You can also reach us through Facebook. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again, and welcome back as we continue our discussion of veteran services here in the city of St. Louis. We're focusing on Veterans Residence, which is a new facility opened by the Salvation Army. Major, this is not your only facility dealing servicing veterans here, is it?
No, it's not. We work with veterans who come in for treatment. We have another facility, our Railton Residence downtown, that's identified by the Salvation Army Shield on the top, which is 109 units of we call workforce and permanent housing. And we have a number of vets who move into that residence as well.
Right. And, Rob, what do you anticipate is going to be happening to you when you move into this facility? What do you foresee as the way it's going to work?
Well, currently there's 40 of us veterans up there, and there's two dorms, and there's so I have 19 other roommates right now, and I attend classes at the Salvation Army, and I also I'm at the Bell Street Clinic with the VA, and I'm there daily, and I attend groups up there and medication management and PTSD counseling once a week, and so I'll be able to continue working, you know, all my stuff with the VA and the Salvation Army. And And what's going to be nice is a little privacy, of course, you know, move next door and have a place that you can, you know, call your own. Right now the space is limited and, you know, we share, you know, it's not uncommon to some of the things you'd have in boot camp with everybody living together or in a dorm in college, you know. So.
Joanne, how will your office, the VA Medical Center, be working with the Salvation Army here specifically?
Sure. Well, we're actually working with them in two different ways, which is exciting for us. For the program that we're talking about, the transitional housing program, the VA provides the funding for the services that are provided there. So the treatment services and things like that. Our relationship is through a grant that we've had for many, many years now, and it's been a wonderful relationship. And then the other half of the building will be our supported permanent housing for veterans. And for that program, the VA will be directly providing supportive services. So I have case managers that will follow people and work with them on treatment plans to help them stay in housing for as long as they so desire.
What about follow-up? I mean, assuming this goes as it's planned, and undoubtedly it will, people will leave and they'll get back into the mainstream. How long will you follow up on them?
Well, we'll follow up on the individuals who are in the supported housing program indefinitely. So as long as that veteran is willing to have contact with us, we would certainly try to extend our services. The same goes for the transitional housing program. People are always welcome to come to what we call aftercare classes. They can come to classes on addiction or other recovery-oriented services. And Salvation Army themselves provides ongoing aftercare. So people, once they're successfully transitioned through, we make sure that everybody knows that we're still here and able to provide support as needed.
Major, you're a busy organization.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. And this is obviously not something new for you. What have you learned, do you think, over the years that is going to make this different and better?
I think the veterans residents, specifically for veterans, is what we've learned. Vets who kind of come together begin to work on treatment together as a group. You know, as we look at our military structure, it's often brigades that come together and they work on assignments as a unit. And we see no difference in this particular setting as vets come together all looking and seeking to be self-sufficient and to overcome their addiction. They can do it as a group.
So, Rob, those 19 roommates are really a plus for you because it acts as kind of a support unit.
It has been. You know, I mean, as much as we may complain about the little things that we get on one another's nerves over whether somebody's loud at night when they get up or whatever, the fact that, you know, you're not alone, you have people with common interests, goal in mind, and common background, that's one thing that I really have and appreciated about the Veterans Administration being in the people. I've been through treatment in the private sector and in with the veterans, and you're with a group of guys who are just motivated and have a common understanding and you know, respect for one another.
Joanne, you're nodding your head. This must be a system that works.
It does work, and I think that Rob is right in saying that when you have a large group of veterans together that are all working on the same issues, it just provides a lot of support and encouragement. And there's a lot to learn from your brothers and sisters about what has happened to them and how they get through tough times.
We have some callers who want to get into this conversation, but Major, let me just turn to you. If someone listening who's interested in getting involved, how does one find out if he or she can become a resident at your facility?
Well, they can call the Salvation Army, and we can start at treatment in some cases or directly related to another organization they may be involved with already. But the Veterans Administration, we work closely with them, and we do case management and referrals through the Veterans Administration's office.
How many different services are available in this area for veterans? Do you have any idea, aside from your own?
I have no idea. I know those of the Salvation Army. I know the St. Patrick Centers and other organizations we work with. Maybe our veterans administrative person might know that.
I would say that there is probably 50-plus that I could talk about that provide a variety of services, so employment services specifically for veterans, housing service specifically for veterans, so lots of different agencies that contribute to this mission. And the VA is responsible for the 5-year plan here locally. And what we try to do every year, usually in August, is we host a homeless summit. And we invite all of our community providers. We had over 70 agencies represented this past August. And we all get together and identify where there are gaps in services and how we can meet the needs of our community in the coming year.
Is there one place that someone could go and get a list of these various services that are out there? I mean, do you have such a list on your website, for instance?
I have a 5-year plan that I'm about to send out to the community, so that will be posted certainly on our website at the VA. And you could call my office to get a list of community providers and other VA services that are available for homeless veterans.
Before you leave, we'll get that phone number. We'll put it on our website and also links to both of your websites so that folks can have a closer look and take more time to read through all of that. Let's take some phone calls. I will begin with Patrick calling from Webster Groves. Patrick, thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Hello.
Yeah, Patrick, go ahead.
I was wondering what role Reverend Larry Rice's Institute for the Homeless in St. Louis and in Springfield, Missouri, plays in this problem of homeless veterans.
Thank you, Patrick. Well, you can't do a program on homelessness in St. Louis without the name Reverend Larry Rice coming up. Is he playing any role?
Not with the Salvation Army at this time. We're working closely with the city of St. Louis and the Department of Social Service with the clients we're working with. We are well aware of Reverend Rice's programs that he offers to the city.
Any other thoughts? Did you want to say something, Joan?
Reverend Rice has had a representative come to our homeless summit in the past, and we welcome his collaboration. We are aware there are some veterans that certainly get services that are provided by Reverend Rice, and we do our best to collaborate with all of our community providers.
Rob, have you had any traffic with Reverend Rice?
No, sir. Some of the guys in the dorm have had experiences down there, but I know they're happy to be where they're at.
Yeah. Let's bring in another caller. Nancy will join us from University City. Nancy, go ahead.
Hi. As I understand it, the Salvation Army has had a history of denying help to gays, charitable help. And so I was wondering, what is their policy for, you know, the openly gay members of this population who could use their services, you know, especially given the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell?
Well, the Salvation Army's policy and our mission statement is we provide services without discrimination. I don't know of any program we would ask anyone sexual orientation to receive help from a Salvation Army program. That's not something we would do. But neither would we deny services for anyone based on their sexual orientation.
So basically you're saying that the information that she has is wrong.
Correct.
Yeah, all right. We have an email here from Randy, an officer at a veterans organization. He called to ask the guests where people can find volunteer opportunities in St. Louis.
Well, sure for the Salvation Army, you can go on our website at stlsalvationarmy.org, and we have a direct link there for a number of volunteer opportunities with the Salvation Army. Or you can call the Salvation Army at 314-646-3000, and they can direct you to the appropriate place to volunteer.
We'll put that information on our website. I'm sure we can get that done. So people don't often have a pen or pencil in their hand to write down telephone numbers, so we'll make that available to them. Joe, what about you? Do you folks deal with volunteers at all?
Absolutely. We have a voluntary services department, and I'll certainly give a number that can be posted. People could call directly. They could also call our office directly. We have lots and lots of community outreach events that we can use volunteers for, and people volunteer and donate and contribute in lots of different types of ways. So.
All right. Well, we'll get that telephone number and other information on our website as well. Back to the phone. Let's bring in Chris calling from Maplewood. Chris, thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks. I just wanted to point out how important these projects are, and they're financed with the low-income housing tax credit, which is under attack in Jeff City. I think it's nice to have a positive example being discussed in the press. Appreciate that.
All right. Anybody care to respond to his comment?
Well, the Salvation Army works with the state and federal and the tax credit projects. The Salvation Army acts as its own developer, and we take those funds and put it back into the project, what we call service enrich, meaning social service and other services for those clients to make sure that they remain in permanent housing.
Any thought, even at this early stage of this particular project, of expanding it?
Well, the Salvation Army is always looking at how we move forward with providing permanent housing for individuals who are in our services. As you know, most states and regional areas have this model of ending homelessness, and the Salvation Army is on many of those committees. And we know that it takes a collective effort like the one we're doing now if we truly are going to address and end homelessness.
Joanne, is there any realistic expectation that by 2015, that's the end date for this 5-year plan? Is that correct?
That's correct.
At least that's what I have. Any realistic expectation that this problem can be resolved, that you can end the issue of veterans' homelessness in that period of time?
Well, I think it's a complex question. I think what our goal here is to build infrastructure to meet the needs of the community. Because the veteran population is changing, we have a lot of men and women coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan with a number of issues that contribute to their homelessness. It would be hard to say. But I think what our goal here is to build an infrastructure that meets the needs of our community.
Our time is just about up. Let me go through the three of you here, and I'll start with you, Rob. Put a bottom line on all this. What's your best expectation of what your experience is going to be at this facility?
I know it's going to be positive for me. I've been working hard at the recovery process and the VA and Salvation Army They work hard, and the people, everybody really cares about the veterans and you know, dealing with everybody's unique problems. And I'm glad to see that they're being proactive, because we got a lot of young guys coming back that are going to need services in the future.
No question about that, Joanne. I'm sure you're sensing and feeling that already.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that in collaboration with Salvation Army, this project will be a success. And I look forward to continue to working with both the Salvation Army and all the veterans that we serve.
Major, want to put a bottom line on it from your perspective?
The bottom line, these men and women have fought for our freedom. When they come home, we want to make sure that we have a place to help transition them back into our society. And that's the commitment of the Salvation Army and our partners.
Well, Major Lonnie Richardson of the Salvation Army, thank you so much for being with us. And congratulations on this new facility. It looks great, and I'm sure it's going to be a great success.
Thank you.
And Joanne Joseph, thank you so much for being with us as well. Rob Lawless, nice to see you. Good luck to you.
Thank you, Don.
When we come back, we'll be talking about a new film documenting the work of Gene King and Richard Barron, major players in the transformation of public housing in St. Louis. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.